at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock in New York City. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers at 2 a.m. And right here in New York, stay tuned for Back of the Book, now heard weekly. And it is right here.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably around 5 a.m., and you're listening to all... Oh, I need some sleep. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And some of you are probably getting wet or something right now, because I think that when this program airs, it's supposed to be raining or snowing or tornadoing or some goddamn thing like that. So we're going to talk about various things here on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to do by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen that says Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you'll go to the webpage for tonight's program. And we do a web page for every program. If you want to, you can look at all of them if you please. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 33rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. Of course, it's pre-recorded. And this program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. And if things have happened between Friday afternoon and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. Of course, a recorded program is never as up-to-date as a live program, but these are dangerous times. And the top story, of course, is on Twitter, we are holding at 107 followers. Oh, wowee. And there's a new thing happening where Twitter is apparently releasing information about how they're going to change some things. And there are going to be super followers who will pay to follow people. Oh, good grief. I will say right here, we are not going to monetize my Twitter account feed, whatever the hell it's called. So nobody's ever going to have to pay for that. You know, I mean, besides which, 107? Wow, that's so many. It would, you know, cause a gigantic shift in the economics of the planet if we had people paying to be our followers when we have 107 of them.
However, if you are a follower with a superpower, please let us know.
Yeah, do that. Let us know if you have a superpower. Good grief. Anyway, yeah, that's, some bizarre stuff coming out of Twitter. I guess they want to make some kind of news or something. Maybe that's it. They want to make news.
Hey, you talked about it, so it worked.
Oh, I guess. Anyway, the next public WBAI LSB meeting should be held on Wednesday, March 10th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And in the usual counting of tragedy here, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 113,267,921 on Friday, and global deaths reached 2,513,380. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 28,464,252, and the death toll in America was 509,710. So 14,695 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And the death toll does continue to trend lower than it had been previously, and that's good. But we topped 500,000 this past week, and President Biden went on TV and held a small ceremony of mourning over the 500,000 people that had died at that point in time. And, geez, that's stuff you would never have heard from Trump. In the last couple of months, he was ignoring the whole damn thing while it was mounting up and mounting up. And it's because of him. President Trump and the Chinese Communist Party are the people we have to thank for a worldwide pandemic that has worldwide killed over 2.5 million people and over 500,000 people in America. Goddamn. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of the figures we've quoted will be higher. And speaking of the pandemic in America, it's going elsewhere too, and Pickles of the North has something to say about the pandemic in Canada.
In Quebec, my parents are part of the group of 200,000 living-at-home seniors, 80 and older, who can now be vaccinated against COVID-19. The provincial government is giving them a choice. Call an 855 toll-free number, manned by 700 people, or, as they urge on their website, use their website. They prefer these 80, 90, and 100-somethings to make their vaccine appointments online. And from the Government of Quebec's website, which of course is the provincial government, if you have difficulty making the appointment online, ask your loved ones to help or consult the COVID-19 vaccination registration procedure, in French only, which will guide you step by step in making an appointment. A video of the procedure, in French only, is also available. I point out that not everyone in the 80-plus age group speaks or reads French, and there seems to be no accommodation for people who speak neither language, English or French. Now, my dad is bilingual, but not tremendously tech-savvy. He may not know what to make of the "Je ne suis pas un robot" section of the online form without the assistance of his tech guy, my younger brother. Of course, we know what that is. It's, "I am not a robot," and then you have to click it. I don't know if he's ever done that. I don't know if he would understand what that was. But anyway, you register using your Quebec health insurance card, because, of course, all Canada has nationalized health insurance, and each province administrates it in a different way. So this is what Quebec is doing vis-a-vis the vaccine. You enter a postal code, and it shows you the vaccine site closest to you. Then you can pick a date and appointment time. The provincial government has set up big sites to do mass vaccinations. My parents just want to go to their local pharmacy, like when they get their flu shots. It's not clear to me if they can do that or have to go to the nearest mass vaccination site. Closer to home with fewer people would be best for all the oldsters. As of Thursday, no alternate plan had been set up for the 80-plus who still live on their own but are homebound. So what the heck are they supposed to do? I hope the province sends its nursing service from the CLSC, that's the Centre Local de Service Communautaire, Local Community Service Center, to give these folks their shots at home. They do all kinds of things. They took care of my dad when he had his knee operations. They come, they do therapy, they do all kinds of things. I don't see why they can't come and give them shots. These are RNs. They know their stuff. They can give vaccinations. And if the 80-plus manage to get their shots these next 2 weeks, they've been scheduled to have them over the next 2 weeks, that's when they get the priority, I guess. They will have to wait up to 90 days for their second. This goes against Pfizer's recommendation of receiving the second shot 3 weeks after the first. There is no medical consensus on making older people wait this long. They are already vulnerable enough because their immune systems are not robust. We shouldn't use older people as guinea pigs so various governments can say, "Hey, look how many citizens we've vaccinated." So I'm a little upset about this. And closer to home, I looked at the New York State website, and basically their big statement about the vaccines is, well, we're only getting 300,000 doses per week from the federal government. So, you know, I guess you're on your own and try and get, you know, go into the battle of trying to get a vaccine appointment. I don't know. I'm glad there's a vaccine. I'm very glad that, Arpal, you got your vaccine. I'm very glad that my parents will get their vaccine. But it seems like they could do it a better way.
And Pickles of the North and I are still hoping to get our dough sometime within the next month. We'd been hopeful that the stimulus package would get passed this past week. Now we're seeing that it might pass the House on Friday night, which means after we've recorded this, and it may pass the Senate this coming week. They had to drop the $15 minimum wage part of it because the House parliamentarian pointed out that there was some complicated budgetary soft shoe dance in there about why that couldn't happen. And all right, you know, there are rules and you got to follow the rules. Otherwise, if you pass it anyway with that, and it's doubtful because even one of the Democrats was against it. Jesus Christ, that got him off the hook, I guess. If it gets passed with some flaw in it, somebody sues in the court and bang, the entire legislation can go out the window in 1 second. So, yeah, it's important that they had to follow those rules. Arrests of the January 6th insurrectionists continue. One of them was a cop who was assaulting a cop. And another one this week is an idiot who was bragging about urinating in Nancy Pelosi's office. He got in there and his important thing to do was to take a leak in her office. And he posted video of himself in the Capitol building and commentary about what the great stuff he was doing. He posted all of this online himself. Other people who saw that crap turned him in. I'm glad about that. Every single person who participated in that attempted insurrection should be arrested, convicted, and they should do serious time for their crimes. I mean, you know, he goes in there and, oh, I just urinated on the floor. Yeah, well, how about 20 years, you know? 20 years from that sounds good. You can urinate on the floor of your cell. See how your cellmates enjoy that. And so, yeah, this guy should go to prison, as should the others. He took his stuff down after a bit, realizing, oh, somebody might see this and I could get arrested, you know, rocket scientist. And he took his stuff down, but other people had copied it and sent it to the feds. And the feds, upon being notified, were able to link him up to footage they had of him. And so lots of nice evidence for his trial.
The most telling thing about all of this, I think, in terms of the arrest being made, is that people are being turned in by their family, their friends, and their co-workers.
And the people to whom they're bragging about all of this on Facebook and Twitter and wherever else they're posting it.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, they're not a bunch of bright people. So, yes, he's under arrest, and he's going to end up going down to Washington, D.C. for another trip. I think the government will pay the expenses on this trip, I suppose, and he will be tried in Washington, D.C., and we'll see how that works out for him. And we'll see how that works out for him elsewhere in life, since he's going to get a lot of nice publicity. He wanted publicity about how he was going to overthrow the government. He's getting it. And Pickles of the North and I continue our pandemic lifestyle. Pickles has done yet another brave refrigerator reboot this week. Yes, a mighty reboot of the refrigerator. It went pretty well this time, didn't it?
Yes. It takes about 8 hours, but it's not the worst thing in the world, certainly. And then the fridge works pretty well until the next time, so that's good.
So we get 3 weeks of use out of the refrigerator before it will start to crap out on us. And I guess that's what we're doing.
Yes, until the warmer weather comes, and then we'll be defrosting every 2 weeks, I figure.
Yeah, and then at some point, we ought to be able to say, hey, we need a working refrigerator in here, and, you know, we'll all be vaccinated, and we'll probably still wear masks because...
Oh, yes.
Because I'm sure whatever idiots bring in the new refrigerator, they're not going to be masked up.
Well, you don't know if they've been vaccinated.
Yeah. So. Who the hell knows what filthy diseases they're going to carry in here?
I will point out that people have done work in the building, and I have seen them, and they have not been wearing masks. So this is throughout the pandemic. This is why we are leery of having anyone come in to do stuff.
Yeah. So that's what we've been doing and trying to survive with all of this. A week from now, on our next program, I should be able to announce that I've gotten my second shot of the Pfizer vaccine, and that'll be good. We're trying to find where we can get Pickles a shot. I get mine through the VA hospital, and they got to take me. But they don't take Pickles because, you know, she wasn't in the Army. You weren't in the Army, were you?
Not that I know of.
You would have noticed. And so we've got to find a place that will give it to Pickles, because the problem being, she's too young.
Well, I believe I will qualify in the next age group, whenever that will be. Right now, they don't have enough vaccine for the people they, you know, have said, go ahead and get your vaccination. So that may coincide with a larger shipment of vaccine from the doled out by the federal government. So that, you know, that will be okay.
Yeah, we've had this unfortunate problem of between the big storm that went over the whole United States of America, slowing down shipping of vaccines, and the previous administration's stupidity in not getting enough in the first place and not having a plan to vaccinate. That shows what idiots they are. And they still say they want to reelect that bum in 2024. God damn. And people would vote for them. It's really amazing how America is collapsing like this. But we have to hope it doesn't collapse and that these creeps get stopped completely. And in other good news, Manhattan DA Cy Vance has gotten Donald Trump's tax returns. Woohoo! Yeah, he fought for them, and the Supreme Court says you got to give them up. And so Cy Vance got them. And what happens, of course, is it's not up to Trump to actually release them, because he would, like, keep them and probably try to burn them or something. But he has an accounting firm, because he has, you know, so many interests and businesses, and it's all complicated. He has an accounting firm. So Cy Vance goes to the accounting firm and says, give it up. And the accounting firm follows the law. I mean, they're licensed. They're CPAs. The thing they can't possibly afford to do is do something that will lose them their license. And so the accounting firm was waiting and waiting. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you got to get it. And so Vance then said, hand it over. And the accounting firm just handed it right over. They are not going to give up their business to save Donnie Bonespur Trump from getting arrested or indicted or sent to prison for the rest of his life or whatever else he deserves. And here we are. It is late winter right now. Yes, it's the 27th of February, and it is late winter. Oh boy, oh boy. The vernal equinox, when spring arrives, will be on March 20th at 5:37 in the morning. For those of you who haven't looked at your calendar, that's when we'll be on the air. That's right. Once again, we have managed to bribe high government officials to make it so that the vernal equinox will occur while we're on the air. Now, it'll be pre-recorded. In the past, when we were doing it live, we could really celebrate because it would happen while we were live on the air. Oh, boy, it used to cost more, too, when I had to bribe government officials to make the solstice or an equinox happen while we're on the air. It cost a little bit less this time because it's not going to happen while we're actually live there. But for our next program, we'll start in the winter and we'll end in the spring. Oh, actually, that'll be not our next program, but our March 20th program, which is, 3 weeks away? March 20th at 5:37 in the morning, we will be celebrating spring. Woohoo! And tomorrow, Sunday, is the last day of the short month of February, and so Monday is March. That means the miserable third has ended. Yes, we're at the very, very end of the miserable third, as I call it. See, I break up time in a certain way. I really like the middle third of the year. The middle third is the months of May, June, July, and August. I really like those months. Now, last year, of course, we had a pandemic middle third. That's life. But I like the middle third.
And perhaps this middle third, maybe towards the end of it, you will be able to venture forth.
Yes, that may well happen. And since I have a middle third and I like it, I also have a third of the year that I don't like. And I refer to it as the miserable third. Those are the months of November. December, January, and February. And so, yes, those are the months I am not pleased with because it's cold and it's crummy weather out and idiots have insurrections during it. And before, we spoke about a stimulus package and stuff for Congress and back and forth and all of this. Who's going to get money and how much and what's not going to be in there and how the Senate is going to have a lot of the Republicans against it and maybe one Democrat, so they may need to get a Republican in there. Oh, boy. Although the $15 minimum wage not being in it does clear the way, I think, for some people to vote for it. But there's something else. There's also some pro-gay, or, yeah, I'm old, some pro-LGBTQ plus infinity legislation before Congress, and it did pass the House. It passed the House the other day, and so it's passed the House, and now it goes to the Senate. It may have a bit of a rocky road in the Senate because, you know, there are Republicans there who are homophobes. That green idiot who got stripped of her committees, she's just being totally homophobic about it, and, you know, she's not going to vote for it, of course, but she's also going to really express her homophobia. Maybe we should all go in and urinate on the floor on her office. Well, we're not doing that. We leave that up to them, I guess. You know, the Supreme Court said employment discrimination can't happen against gay people because you can't discriminate because of sex. Again, I say gay people. It means LGBTQ plus infinity. You know, I'm an ancient gay activist. And yeah, I mean, 51 years ago, I was, well, not quite. March 26, 1970, I joined the Gay Activists Alliance and stayed in there for just short of a decade. And so 50 years ago, I was in the Gay Activists Alliance and we were running around doing zaps and things. And so I'm so used to saying gay that sometimes I keep saying gay, even though it's the 21st century and the old man needs to adapt. So the Supreme Court ruled that you can't discriminate against people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, etc. And so that's there. Nobody can do anything about that. The Biden administration wants to put in the rest of civil rights in there, which is exactly what we did here in New York City years and years ago when we came up with the first in the world, what we called then, this was the name of it, the Gay Rights Bill. That's what it was called then, all right? I'm quoting from 51 years ago. And, well, 50, 51, whatever, somewhere in there. Yeah, what we did then was we amended the omnibus civil rights bill, civil rights law of New York City. And that's what this legislation before Congress is doing. It's amending the civil rights legislation that already exists to add sexual orientation and gender identity, etc. And so that may or may not pass. I hope it passes. It's in there. It may have a rocky road in the Senate, but it's really good that it's actually happening and it's being backed by at least a whole lot of people, maybe even a majority of people. Well, certainly a majority in the House of Representatives, never had that before. And probably at least half of the Senate. So there you go. And this is something that had to wait for what we were talking about to each other years and years ago, which is, hey, the main thing we got to worry about is these older people who really can't get out of their old heads of saying, ah, poivoits. And that's what's happened. A lot of those people who were our big opposition in the 70s, they're dead now. They're gone. And kids have come up. And the kids have been able to hear about this stuff because it used to be you couldn't hear about it. If you were gay, you didn't know what was happening at all. You didn't know there were other gay people. Just about everybody my age and older had the feeling, I'm the only one. And I'm not kidding. That's the feeling. I'm the only one. You know, you didn't know there were actually other gay people. You didn't know what gay was, of course. Homosexuality or any of that. There was no thing about that. You heard about queers and fags as slurs and all of that. But it was used so much, it really didn't have much meaning. Jerk. And it was another ordinary word to yell at somebody. But, you know, the calling him a homophobic slur was a little bit sharper, but it really didn't have any meaning to it, especially if you're a young kid, because you don't know what the hell they're talking about. And you don't know what sex is for the most part when you're quite young. At least we didn't then. Now also the kids have more of an idea at an earlier age of what the hell sex might be. And I think that's a good thing. It's good to educate kids on sex because it's a part of life. And why have some part of life in total shadow? Why? It's because the people who use organized superstition to control other people find it very convenient, and it does work. It does work. They can control other people that way. So we have this pro-LGBTQ plus infinity legislation that's now hitting the Senate, and it's going to be a battle, and we have to hope that it passes there, at which point that will be so great. That will be so great. And we've also seen there's a poll out. And in this poll, people were asked about being LGBTQ plus infinity. Yeah, I had the plus infinity because I've watched it was gay. Then it was lesbian and gay because lesbian invisibility must be fought. So lesbian has to go before gay. And so that was there for a long while, and then bisexual came into it, and by the time that happened, I was bisexual. Then transgender, and I guess it's queer or questioning, I hear. Two different things. I don't know. I can't keep up. I'm an old fart, too, and some of this goes fast for me. Anyway, the poll is 5.6% of Americans identify as LGBTQ plus infinity. This is great. It's up from like 4.5% only a few years ago. This is very, very good. If you had done this poll 50 years ago, it would have been very, very low. And this was used when we were doing the gay rights law stuff. We had intro 475. Oh, that's a chant we had. And intro 475 was the name in the New York City Council of the first gay civil rights bill, as it was called then. And so when we were fighting for that, some of the people came up who were fighting against it, and they would say, but it doesn't matter. There are so few of them, you know, and they would cite a statistic, I think, that maybe there were 1 or 2% of people are homosexual, which is all we were talking about at that point. And they said that's it. Only one or 2%. And there had been some estimates done. I don't know if they'd done actual polls because that would have been useless. Because nobody'd admit to it if you'd, oh yeah, I'm gay. Okay, you're gay. And there's a knock on the door in some states. I think Nevada had the death penalty for homosexuality. Not homosexual acts, homosexuality. I'm queer. Okay, come here. We're going to electrocute you or whatever the hell they did in those days. Or stone you with rocks and sticks. I don't know what. But anyway, they would cite the fact, oh, there are so few of them. They're not really here. And we would cite another estimate. Again, estimates were what we had because a poll didn't go far. And we would cite another statistic, 10%. And it seemed about right to us, probably 10%. And they would say, no, it's very small. And someone would say it's not even 1%. And those were big fights we had. Now it's gone up to 5.6%. And I think a lot of this has to do with young people who are not afraid of this, who have heard of homosexuality when they're young, who hear about it from gay people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, etc. people. And, you know, they have a different attitude from those old farts from 50 years ago. Oh, yeah. We were not friendly with those old farts from 50 years ago. Oh, man. And so, yeah, we had all of that going on. And so we have a statistic that's new now, 5.6%. And that's a rather good thing, I think. And it's getting toward that 10%. It may or may not reach it at some point. Who knows? But it's good that there is this 5.6% of people admitting that they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, etc. And in other news, There's a resort town in Mexico called Tulum, and it's on a beach. And it's in the Mexican state of Quintana Roo. And in the resort town of Tulum, the cops arrested two men for kissing on a public beach. And they arrested them, and they were armed to the teeth, these cops. They had M16 rifles. Oh, yeah, this is it. Two guys are kissing each other on the beach. Let's get out the assault rifles and go get them. And so they went charging in there, and they arrest these guys. And a crowd gathers around it. You know, oh, what's this? And they hear, you know, what they're being arrested for. And the crowd doesn't like it. Crowd gets bigger. The crowd gathers around the whole thing, and the crowd starts chanting, "I'm gay too! I'm gay too!" I think they did that in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I can't say it in Spanish. But they were saying, "I'm gay too!" And so they did this, and the cops shoved these guys into the back of a pickup truck, and are going to drive them away and probably beat the crap out of them. Maybe also, given the Mexican police try to shake them down, oh, I should go and do a whole segment on stuff like that, some of which I got to mess up sometimes in the past, but not right now. Anyway, so they're chanting, "I'm gay too," and after a few minutes of this, the cops just let them go, because the cops said, this ain't going to work out well. And so, yeah, this was very successful. They were unarrested. I have unarrested people myself. Not quite that way, but other ways. And, yeah, we have chanted. We've had people arrested, and we've chanted and gathered around and made the police let people go. I've unarrested people also by being invisible.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah, well, I'm not really the invisible man, but sort of I am, because I can be unobtrusive and not noticed, and I can speak softly. And I remember one time a guy getting arrested at a street demonstration during the campaign against the movie Cruisin', an anti-gay movie that was filmed largely in New York in 1979. And this guy got arrested, and I just walked over, and the way it looked, I could walk over and not get grabbed by the police immediately. There were a lot of them talking to each other, and they had this guy, and I just said, "Oh well," and here he is, and he's not doing it. He's okay. It's all right, and like that, and I grab him by the elbow, and meanwhile, he's yelling, counterproductive to what I'm trying to do, and I'm drawing him away. And yeah, I unarrested that guy. Meanwhile, some other idiot throws a glass bottle and it breaks right near us, and the cops are there. I don't know if he was throwing the bottle at the cops or at me, because he didn't like me. And so all hell broke loose, but that's another story. And anyway, so yes, they chanted, "I'm gay too," and they got the couple unarrested. And the police later released a statement saying that the men were arrested for, quote, "immoral acts and sexual erotic demonstrations on the road or public places," unquote. Yeah, homophobic BS is what that is. And what is erotic awfulness? Well, I'm sure there were heterosexual couples kissing on the beach too. Didn't arrest any of them. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And the last time we were on the air, we were talking about Mars and the Perseverance rover getting there. And the so-called People's Republic of China and the United Arab Emirates have probes in orbit around Mars, and they're doing stuff with those, and they're getting settled in. We don't know much about the one from the so-called People's Republic of China, because the Chinese Communist Party isn't exactly transparent. So we have these things around Mars. NASA's Perseverance spacecraft is on the Martian surface, of course. We talked about that last week. And NASA, this week, has released video of the landing itself. And that's interesting. And they had a message encrypted into their parachute. And well, you know, it was like red and white on the parachute. And what was it? Attempt mighty things.
Dare mighty things.
That's it. And you could decrypt it to say that. And somebody did. Somebody did it. And so that's a message hidden in plain sight. That is called steganography. And it's a method of encrypting information. NASA also released audio that was captured during the landing. However, I've listened to it a number of times. I can't really hear much in it, so I'm not going to play that here. But it is interesting, and I think maybe we'll get some more audio from the Perseverance rover, and we'll get that in the future, and maybe we'll be able to play that and have some Martian stuff here. Some people think we have a lot of Martian stuff here. All right, and we need to pitch a little bit. 1-516-620-3602. Yes, that's what we have to keep saying. This is WBAI, and of course, we are non-commercial radio. We are non-commercial listener-sponsored radio, which means we do not sell things on the air. You don't see us hawking Chevys or Fords or any of those other things. And you don't see us selling that stuff. And how do we fund ourselves, since obviously we have a huge electricity bill? And WBAI costs about $120,000 a month to run. $120,000 a month. What we have to do to raise that money is ask you to donate. So we're going to have to do that right now. And what I'm going to do is ask if you could possibly become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is what we call our sustaining membership, where you donate on a regular basis once a month. And what happens is you call 1-516-620-3602 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And so you'll call them up and you'll say that, and you'll tell them how much you would like to donate every month. And it could be $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 a month. You choose the amount. You can also choose what day of the month you would like to be charged. And on that day, every month, they will charge your credit card or your debit card that amount of money. Now, $5 a month isn't a gigantic amount of money. It comes to 60 bucks over the course of a year. And, you know, $5, geez, $5 a month. How many things do you waste $5 on? Well, waste $5 on us. Oh, yes. So, yes, we're asking you to please call 1-516-620-3602 and pledge some amount of money there. You know, become a BAI buddy. Say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And make sure you mention Back of the Book. Because that way we'll get credit for it. And we're still trying to get management to say who has opted to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And also you can donate. You just donate the old-fashioned way too. You could say, hey, I want to donate X amount of money, and people have done that. George did that a couple of months ago. Join George. I think we may have some other folks whose names management hasn't been able to get to us yet, but we're hoping that'll happen soon. 1-516-620-3602. That's the number to call to say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And by doing that, you help to keep us on the air. You help keep WBAI on the air, literally. And you help to keep Back of the Book on WBAI. Because, again, management is looking to see what programs raise money. They have a new software that's going to track all this and make it so that they don't have to, go to the Delphic Oracle and, burn incense to find out who the hell donated when. And that's going to, they're training with that right now. And so that's going to be getting done, and they'll be able to tell much more easily, I think, who donated and what programs have donations. So there's that. 1-516-620-3602. And you will also be saying, hey, these overnight programs, and this is considered an overnight program, these overnight programs have listeners. And, you know, that's always been a debate here. Do any of these programs that are not mainstream, do we have listeners? And the way we show that we have listeners is by having you call 1-516-620-3602 and either make a lump sum donation right away or say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. So that's what we need to have some people do. And you do that and you help to keep us all going. And, you know, we talk about all sorts of things here. We talk about lesbian and gay and bisexual and transgender and everything else stuff. And we also talk about science things. I'm going to get into some science stuff here shortly. And we do these things. And you don't get this kind of stuff elsewhere. Elsewhere, you'll get people laughing at science. And you'll get the TV news people who just mock it or can't understand it and just make fun of it. But here we don't make fun of the science. We talk about it. We get into it. So 1-516-620-3602. Please give us a call at that number. And again, you can say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And the BAI buddy is a sustaining membership. And you can tell them you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month. And you can have that taken out of your credit card or your debit card once a month on a day that you tell them you want it taken out. Like if you want it on the first, you can do that. If the first of the month or early in the month is inconvenient, you could put it to the middle, toward the end, somewhere else. They're flexible. You can say when you want it taken out of your account there. Of course, if you're doing it and you say you want it on the 31st of the month, that's going to be a problem because there are some months, including February, that don't have a 31st. So you would have to say the last day of the month, I suppose. But anyway, 1-516-620-3602. I hope that some of you are calling and letting us know that we have listeners and letting us know that we, in fact, have people who support keeping this radio program on WBAI and support keeping WBAI on the air. Final time this time, 1-516-620-3602. And thanks if you're donating. We really, really appreciate it. And I should be yawning right here, but I'm too adrenalated. Yes, I even get a little bit adrenalated when we're just recording, sitting here in our living room with a typing table with two microphones and a tiny recording device on it. And that's our studio these days. And I'm adrenalated because that's what happens. Otherwise, I'd be asleep right now. Yes, I am having sleep deprivation. I have a really serious sleep deprivation problem right now. And I think a lot of people are getting this these days because with a lot of people not going into work at all or not going into work and working from home, and so that's different, and their hours are kind of different and flexible, and people don't have those rather rigid, to my way of thinking, times when they get up, go to sleep, and all of this stuff. A lot of people are kind of floating more than usual, and they're missing some sleep, and that results in sleep deprivation. And all sorts of unpleasant things can happen with sleep deprivation. And I'm having it right now. I've had a bizarre sleeping and waking situation for decades. I don't know how many decades, but a lot of decades. And so, yeah, I mean, that's part of why I started doing late night radio. We used to be on from 1 to 3 a.m. And that was fine for me, mostly, and I could easily do it. And I'm more of a nocturnal than a diurnal kind of person. And so today for this program, I was going, oh man, can I even do this? I was falling asleep and going, ah, and it was a real problem. And so, today was really difficult. And, we'd even said, Jesus, should we call up Max and tell him, hey, we're not going to do a program. But we decided not to do that, and we've stumbled into the living room, and we're doing a radio program. And there's an aircraft going by. Yes, there's an aircraft going by as I speak. And so, yeah, so we're here, and we're having sleep deprivation, and I don't have a magic cure for that. You should go to sleep if you can. I would be asleep right now, I said, and not recording anything if I could. But hey, here we are, and we've got to plow through it. And for those of you dealing with sleep deprivation in your work, I feel for you, because when I was working, I used to have really bad sleep deprivation because I had a job that where I had to show up in the daytime for a while. Well, I had a number of jobs where I had to show up in the daytime, and I had to just go through it all and, you know, do work, and not work where you just sit there. I had to do work and figure out, why is this person's computer not working? Well, how do I explain to this person how to use the software? How do I save this person's file that they screwed up, and stuff like that? So it wasn't that easy. I had to be awake enough to do that stuff, and I managed to do it. And as I've gotten older, the sleep deprivation has been harder to fight. And I think some of you probably are running into that yourselves. So, oh boy, it's really something there. And so an aircraft just went by, and they're predicting that they're going to have flying cars in Europe by 2022. Yes, flying cars in Europe by 2022. This is what some people are saying is going to happen, and this is a bad idea. Even though Pickles of the North has gone on the air at times and said, gee, where's my flying car?
That is true, but since I don't know how to operate a on-the-ground car, I probably wouldn't do well with a flying one.
Nobody would. I mean, you know, flying cars is a bad idea. However, these are variations on them. They are a bad idea. What happens when it crashes? You know, it's going to crash into an urban area. You get usually crashes happen in, near airfields and in places where there aren't a lot of people. And there are exceptions, of course. I talked in December about the plane crash of December 16th, 1960 that happened in Brooklyn. And we had the attacks on 9/11. And then in December 2001, we had a plane crash in Queens. But it's not that often a thing. However, you have ordinary people trying to fly a plane. Look at all the fender benders and realize you bend your fender in a plane, it gravity happens. Also, a company named Archer wants to create an, quote, urban air mobility network, unquote, over Los Angeles by 2024 because the car traffic there is so bad. And so they're designing and developing an electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft that can carry passengers for 60 miles at speeds of up to 150 miles an hour while allegedly producing what they call minimal noise. Now, gee whiz, electric cars are, you know, they're there, they exist, they're doing stuff, but an electric aircraft carrying passengers over Los Angeles. Can anybody see any possibility of that not going 100% well? Anyway, money is involved here. Morgan Stanley estimates sustainable air mobility, as they're calling it, will be worth $1.5 trillion by 2040. It's 19 years from now. So they're saying 19 years from now, they're gonna have that. And it's going to be a big business. I don't know enough details about this Los Angeles deal, but plane crashes in a city are not a good thing. So, I don't know. I guess we're going to see what happens, but an electric aircraft ferrying people around in a city at 150 miles an hour.
I think you've got the right word there, R. Paul. Ferrying. 2040? Start investing in dinghies.
As the cities get flooded out anyway. Oh, my. All right. We need a last pitch here. Last pitch. 1-516-620-3602. Hey, let's let Pickles of the North sing her song about that.
1-516-320-3602. Give us a call. 516-320-3602. 1-516-320-3602. Give us a call. 516-320-3602.
All right. 1-516-620-3602. Please call that number and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. 1-516-620-3602. We'll really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. All right. I think that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. If you've contributed by calling 1-516-620-3602, thanks a lot. A great deal for that. We'll be back here next week in a new month, and we'll be rid of the miserable third. Thanks a lot for listening. Coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Following that is Jim Freund with his program Hour of the Wolf, which is all about science fiction stuff. We'll be back here a week from now, and go look out the window. It's getting a bit lighter out, and it's nicer out, and it's going to get warmer soon, and spring will eventually be here. And above all, remember what that looking up and watching out for crap falling down on him Dormouse said.
Light in your head and dead on your feet well.
Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got funk.
Frank Timms with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's Okay, I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Tell me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to, you know, you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday mornings from 8 to